But if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open them to Romans chapter 15, verse 13. It's an interesting verse, and I want to draw out of that. Romans 15, verse 13. It says in the King James translation, "Now the God of hope," catch this, "the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost." Let me read that again. "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost." I want to draw attention to this because this is an interesting dynamic, because of all the things you could pray that people would be abounding in, you would almost think, why didn't he pray that, hey, we need to abound in faith, because we understand that without faith, it's impossible to please God. We understand out of Hebrews 11, 33, and Hebrews 6, 12, that it's through faith and patience that we inherit or receive the things of God. Faith is a key element into activating and receiving what God has for you. So you would assume that maybe he should have said that the God of faith fill you and that you would abound to this context of faith. But he doesn't. He chooses a different dynamic, a different direction. And I think if we skip over too quick, we miss out on what God is trying to bring into our lives, because many times our faith is limited, not because of God and not because of the enemy, but because of revelation of where we're at and how to receive. He's drawn attention to something that's very unique. And he says, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy in believing, that you may abound in hope." We see a phrase here, that you may abound in hope. In the grammatical sense, you could say, here's the target. Here's the destination. Here is a goal. Take all the other stuff and put it aside for a moment. The goal is that you would abound in hope. Abound in hope. This is something he's just not saying. He wants you to abound in hope. He wants you to understand that the God that you serve, the God that you worship, the God that you're praying to, the God that you're receiving from, the God that is healing you, the God who's protecting you, the God who's providing for you, that he himself is a God of hope. That the God of hope, that the God of hope fill you, that you may abound. Say, that I may abound in hope. When I begin to think about that, as we pull this out, almost like taking a puzzle and pulling the pieces out separately and look at each piece, and then we put it back into the sentence of the puzzle to see the big picture. And as I pull out that one piece called hope and I pull it back, more than a church, more than a building, more than the idea, more than a wish. Most people think hope is wishing. Hope is a key ingredient in faith, because Hebrews 11, 1, and challenge everything I say with the word of God. Don't take anything face value or for granted. Challenge everything that's ever said to you with the word of God. Hebrews 11, 1 tells us, now faith is the substance of things. The very first ingredient of faith comes in this context of hope, and it's an interesting idea. Because if I stay in the place of hope, I miss it out of the context of faith. But if I have no hope, I can't have faith. Now faith is the substance of things. Talk to me, church. You got to talk for you and everybody that would be in that 6 foot surrounding of you. Faith is the substance of things. You're getting better. We're going to warm you up. I want you to think about this. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 12 tells us this. Hope deferred, which means hope delayed. Have you ever been there? I was expecting this to happen by this time. It didn't happen on the day of the you should have it. It didn't show up, and it was postponed. I don't like being postponed. One of my personal challenges is I hate being disappointed. I came in with the expectation of this on this day, and on that day, it didn't happen. And they call and tell you, I'm sorry, it'll take a few more days, or next week, or next month. Hope defer. I think some of us are all experienced that a little bit. They tell us, oh, you just need to be quarantined in your house for 15 days. And when you get to you've been counting it down on your calendar. You've watched every movie on Netflix, Hulu, Disney Plus. You have done everything you think of. You cleaned your house 5 times, even when it didn't need to be cleaned. You have talked to your family, worked in a relationship, and you've ran from your family, hidden from relationship. You have done anything and everything, and you have gone outside, stayed inside, gone to the basement, found attic space you didn't know existed, and you come counting down on your calendar, only one more day. And on the 15th day, they say, sorry, we're going to extend it just 30 more days. I laughingly said to my wife yesterday, if you think about it, we call it self-quarantine. A year ago, they called it house arrest. But I'm just saying, anyway. It's just how you change the wording. Everybody agrees to it. Okay, that's a good idea. All right. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy in believing. Hope, Proverbs 13 again. Hope, this King James translation. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. Hope delayed. Hope postponed. It didn't happen the way you thought it was going to happen. But notice in this verse it says, but when the desire comes, it is a tree of life. Now, my whole life, I've always read this, that hope delayed, what I'm believing for, it's been delayed. You deal with your heart being broken, your heart sick. But when I get it, it's a tree of life. And you could still agree with that. But may I propose another idea? And before I introduce the next idea, maybe I do it this way, because there's a verse that we're all very familiar with that I look at it a little differently, and that comes out of Psalms 37:4. It won't be on your screen. And it says, delight yourself in the Lord. Have you heard this verse? Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Many people preach, and it's okay if they want to preach that, because in the substance, it's still it can be relevant, but I don't believe in the context of that verse it's accurate. Most people preach that if you delight yourself in God, he'll give you what you're asking for. But I believe that in that verse, it actually means a little different. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desire. Emphasis mine. The desire. Because the next verse following that says, commit your works unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he will bring it to pass. What is it? It's the desire. God gives you the desire. And then as you work it out and trust him, he'll lead you in the path to the fulfillment of the desire. So when I get a desire, and I see this in the life of Abraham, God gave him a desire. He gave him a vision. He gave him a hope. And as he walked it out, he began to see, realize what God had said was true. So if I take that as a filtering guideline, and I bring it back into this verse, hope deferred makes the heart sick, but the desire comes, it is a tree of life. Let me say it from a different point of view, and this is just from my own experience, and I think we can all relate to this. We've all had something we really, 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 really wanted. Maybe it's a car, a brand new car. If I only had that car, I'd be so happy. And you get the car, and you're so excited, and you keep it spotless. You wash it and wax it every day. No one can eat in it. Your kids try to get in it. Did you make sure you get the dirt off your shoes before you even let them? You are monitoring everything. 6 months later, you're praying for rain just so it can wash itself. Come on, somebody. Why? Because the life it brought didn't stay. It's not a tree of life. Have you ever noticed after you get something, the human, carnal, the natural part of us, after we receive something, is to look for something else that we don't have. That's a human nature. So when I get something, it doesn't become a tree of life. It becomes an exciting moment, and the next moment I'm looking for the next thing that will provide an exciting moment. If it was the obtaining of things, success, wealth, fame, power, and there's nothing wrong with those things. But if you look to those things to give you life, then why don't you look at the example of those who have already had them? And they find out that the more successful and the more famous and the more powerful and the more rich they become, the more lonely and empty they realize they really are. Because they are trying to use stuff to fill a space that only Jesus can. The Bible says that God will bless you. He'll give you wealth, but he'll add no sorrow to it. So we like to say at Hope Church that God doesn't mind you having stuff. He wants you to have stuff. He just doesn't want stuff to have you, because stuff does not fill the space. When I think of Tree of Life, my mind goes to the Garden of Eden. And we naturally make a progressive idea that when Adam was in the garden before the fall, that Adam would have lived forever physically. But I want to challenge the thought for a second. Because if Adam was going to live forever before the fall, why did they have a need for a tree called the Tree of Life? There'd be no need for it.
If his cells of his human body was designed to replicate and never deteriorate, and he was going to perpetuate for eternity, why would they need a tree called the tree of life? This tree was so important, catch this, that the Bible brings out in Genesis, challenge it, that after the fall, Adam was and Eve was removed out of the garden, and the Bible says that God had an angel standing at guard at the entrance, lest Adam and Eve come back in and eat from the tree of life, because the tree of life sustained them to live forever. So when I understand, if I take it from that point and use the Bible to interpret the Bible, then I can begin to see, are you with me today? Are we okay? Are y'all doing okay? Is this too much download? Some of you are like, I should have taken notes. You should have, but that's okay. Now the God of, notice here, hope deferred makes the heart sick, but when the desire comes, it is a tree of life. A tree of life. It's a tree. It provides. Notice going back to the puzzle of our verse, and it says, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace. Notice this next phrase, in believing. Now we not only know the target, we know the path. The target is that you would abound in hope while you are in the process of believing. That you would abound in hope, because hope is the expectation of something greater in the future. So to abound, it means you are very, beyond optimistic, that you are very confident that it is already done. Mark 11, 23 and 24. But Mark 11, 24 says, when you pray, believe that you have received them, and then you shall have them. God gives us a little glimpse of an eternal principle that teaches us when we pray, we need to pray in a place where we know that we know that we know it's done. I have it. Let me see it. You can't show it. Well, you can't. If you can't show it, then you don't have it. Speak again to the person who just found out they were pregnant. I'm pregnant. Let's see the baby. I can't show you the baby yet. Well, then you're not pregnant. Really? You're not showing, but that doesn't mean there's still not life on the inside of my womb that is growing every day. And what you don't see today, it will continue to change, because what I know the destination is that there's a baby, there's life on the inside of me. That's the same way in the things of the Spirit. God will give you a vision of your future, because God, the Bible says, sees the end equally as the beginning. And God has a way when he starts you on the process, the journey of believing, the journey of faith. He doesn't start you off with the idea of maybe. He gives you a vision of the destination. What is he doing? He's showing you the end before you start the beginning. He tells Abram, I'm going to make you a father. Look at the stars, count the sand. That's what it's going to look like. Do you see this? If you can see it, then you can have it. It's not a mind over matter. It's getting a revelation. Hebrews 11 does say, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. But if you keep reading later on in that chapter, it says these men and women died. Those men and women of faith died. They died not having received them, but having seen them afar off. They caught the vision of God, and it was so compelling that it moved them to move beyond the vision of their own eyesight. They were saying, we are strangers to this land because we have seen, we are citizens of a greater place. God has a way of saying, before I start you, I'm going to finish you. Before you begin, it's over. If it's not over in your spirit, that means you don't have hope, because hope has the assurance, the confidence, the future, and it sees the future and says, wait a minute, I have a sense and I know that the obstacle that I'm dealing with is not the end, it's only part of the journey, but there's something greater on the other side. Why? Because I've seen a land, I've seen a time, I've seen the future. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit will show you things to come. Many people will try to read that and figure out what the next lottery pick would be. He doesn't show you things to come as far as the lottery. He'll show you things to come as regards to who you are in Christ. You begin to see, wait a minute, the doctor says, my body says, but God's word says, and all of a sudden, a hope rises on the inside of you. a hope rises on the inside of you. And you begin to see a sensation that the future is better. It's complete. The old timers, would use the phrase, a breakthrough. We're going to pray till we have a breakthrough. What are they saying? They were praying until they had crossed over a place that they were no longer stressed and in turmoil, but they had peace and joy. It was a breakthrough into the next realm that they knew God had this now. I'm not out here by myself. I'm not wondering. I am directed. I'm following. I'm obeying. My God has this in control. People can spout all the time, God's in control. And they're saying, God's in control. But if you haven't crossed into the place of assurance, knowing that he's in control in your life, he's not in control of your life. That's why people outside the church world don't understand, why would God do this? God didn't do this. God's given humanity authority in their own world. And when you begin to back up and say, in my position of authority, I'm opening up the door to you, Jesus, to be Jesus in my life. And you walk through this process because you, and only you, has this thing called a choice, a will for your life. And when you begin to Revelation 3, you hear his voice as he's knocking. You don't hear the knock, you recognize the voice. And he begins to speak to you. And he calls you out of darkness into his glorious light. He's calling you into the identity of the DNA of God, the thread of God's DNA who's been planted on the inside of you, the Bible says. You cannot live in sin because his seed remains in you. When you get born again, you have the DNA of God, and he calls us out of where we used to be and to he's called us to be. And though you might not see it temporarily, do not focus on the temporal, the Bible says, because temporal is things that are subject to change. The Bible says, set your focus, your affection on the eternal. That's what God is calling you to. Let you be more like Christ. He's calling you out of sickness today into health. He's calling you out of poverty into blessing. He's calling you out of torment into peace. He's calling you out of hopelessness into hope, because he is the God of hope. He is the God of hope, that you may abound in hope, that you may abound in hope in this journey called believing. Because in believing is power. Didn't Jesus tell Martha and Mary, didn't I say that if you would only believe, you would see the glory of God, which means the demonstration of God's power. Which meant, AKA, your brother Lazarus is coming back to life. Nothing is impossible to them that believe. There's power in believing. But the journey of believing begins with the understanding of hope. The wait a minute, I'm just not out there understanding. I'm trying, hoping, and you're just throwing, and you think you're hoping, and you're not hoping at all. Hope begins with the revelation of who you are in Christ. For the prodigal son came to himself and said, does not my father's servants have plenty more? Why do I stay here? It's a walk of faith. It's a journey. You begin to say, enough is enough. Enough is enough. I know what my history's telling me. I know what my family's telling me. I know what my bank account's telling me. I know what my doctor's telling me. I know what my doctor report is telling me. But in the face of the pressure and opposition, you have to be willing, not feel it emotionally, but something on the inside. Allow the word of God to stir up in you and say, wait a minute, that's what you say. I don't need to accept that. I don't need to receive that, because God says, and you don't have to convince people. Listen, when David, when he began to charge Goliath, he didn't have to convince him. When Goliath saw the staff, he said, am I a dog that you come at me with a stick? David didn't have to communicate with Goliath that he was carrying not a stick, but a staff. What makes a difference to you and I and that little Israeli boy is that a staff was something that represented not only his livelihood, a staff represented the history of God in his life, because they would carve on that staff every time God did something. And he could have argued with Goliath and said, wait a minute, enemy, let me show you. Don't devalue my staff. Let me show you what it's about. He didn't need to communicate. communicate to the enemy. He didn't need to sell it to someone who's accusing him. He didn't need to get everybody to like him or understand him or give him a thumbs up and a follow on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, or whatever you might follow. He didn't need that. All he needed to realize is that he knew what it was. It was a staff. The devil devalues what is a part of your key covenant understanding. He does not come after stuff that's frivolous or doesn't make a difference. He comes after stuff that will affect your faith, because if he can stop your faith, he can stop you from defeating him. And he went after Goliath, and he kept his staff with him, because he knew, as big as Goliath was to him in the natural, when he held up the staff, it was the memory of who God is in his life. And when he held up that staff, it demonstrated to him mentally, emotionally, but also spiritually, that the God he served was much bigger than the enemy that's facing him. The God he served is much bigger. And Hope Church, I am trying to tell you today that the God that you serve is bigger than COVID-19. The God that you serve is bigger than every disease. By the stripes of Jesus, you were healed, 1 Peter 2:24. Every name, God has exalted him above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee must bow. In heaven and in earth, every disease must bow. Every wicked, evil person must bow. Anybody's trying to manipulate this to hurt America or people or humanity must bow. They think they have power. They have not touched the power of God, because the moment they get one drop of God's power in their presence, their knees are going to buckle. But God needs people to rise up. Joshua 1, be strong and courageous. I'll do the work. They can't withstand against you. You just need to be bold. You need to be strong and courageous, because if you're not strong and courageous, you will not chase the giant. How strong do you have to be to hide out in the tent like the king? What difference would be made if you hung out with everybody in the ditch and no one challenged it? It takes guts to rise up and say, wait a minute, somebody has to say something. David wasn't trying to grandstand, which his own brother accused him of. I know the naughtiness of your heart. You're just trying to get attention. David understood there was something greater called a cause. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. That God's desire is the one that brings of hope. God's desire of hope brings life. Because when you hit a wall, you back up and bounce off and say, okay. And the devil will say, it will never happen. But on the inside, you do a little internal check as you get into God's word and presence. And he said, you're doing good. You're doing good, child. I know you hit a wall, but I knew you're going to be there already. You're doing good. Stand strong. Do this or do that. And if he doesn't tell you what to do, the Bible says, having done all, stand. Stand your ground. You're doing good. You're doing good. You're doing good. You're doing good. Some of you need to hear that. You're doing good. It might not look like you're winning right now. It might not look like you're making progress, but you're doing good. Keep believing. Keep standing. Stay strong. You're doing good. It might not feel like it sometimes. You're doing good. It might not look it. You hear all the negative news. You think, OMG, what's going to happen? I'm doing good. The desire of hope brings life. Notice as we go back to our puzzle, Romans 15, verse 13. And we notice what God is saying he wants to fill us with. He'll fill you with all joy and hope. He'll fill you with all joy and peace and believing. If I take this part out and focus just on that, I could say it this way. And here's why. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace through the power of the Holy Ghost. Because we need the power of the Holy Ghost to be full with joy and peace while we're believing. Because when you believe, when you're in the journey of faith, that's the time your emotions are going crazy. That's the time your mind's trying to go different directions. That's when you got to be you have to guard your heart. You just can't allow junk in. You have to be focused on what you're allowing in, because that affects you. But we need power. So I need power. Why? Pastor, you're connecting the power to the joy and peace. Because it's just not joy and peace that comes from your situation. It's joy and peace that comes from the Holy Spirit. That's right. in your spirit. It's not joy and peace that is around you, but joy. Anybody can have joy and peace when everybody loves you and they're buying you gifts and they're singing happy birthday and it's your day. But how many people know that day doesn't come out too often? What do you do when everybody's against you? People are talking about you. People are trying to take you out. What is it? What do you do when it seems like everything, every win, every idea seems to be against you and everything you try seems like it goes the wrong direction? You can cave. You can throw in the cards. You can quit or you can back up and say, wait a minute. I need something that overrides what's happening to me in the natural. I need the power of the Holy Spirit. Notice in believing in the journey. Notice this in joy. And here's two more verses, and here's why. Say joy.
Joy.
Notice this, Hebrews 12:2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Catch this. Joy is just not about hoo-hoo, giggling and laughing and looking at you. And you laugh and have joy. That's great. But it's got to be more than you being silly. Notice the power of joy. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy, who for the
joy.
Talk to me, church. You got to remember, you got to say amen to everybody who's watching that I can't hear. Who for the
joy.
Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. Who for the, what was before him? What did Jesus, when he was going to the cross, he knew what he was going to be dealing with. He knew the intensity of it. In the Garden of Gethsemane, it tells us that he began to pray. And as he was praying, great drops of blood was coming out of his pores. Why? Because the level of pressure and tension of the world. We cry on silly little things sometimes. And Jesus stood his ground in the opposition of pressure that causes physical body, the very vessels below his skin surfaces to burst and blood pour out. And he said, Father, if there's any other way, take this cup from me, but nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. How did he go through the process? God said, I'm giving you joy to focus on. God, again, go back to this whole thing. When you're in the journey of a walk through life and you're believing by faith and the opposition's coming, one of the things we're praying is that God would give you joy by the Holy Ghost just so you don't feel good in the moment, but that you begin to see. What's the joy? The destination. What's the joy? The revelation of the hope. What is the joy? The future. You begin to see the end from the beginning and you begin to say it is finished before you start. You begin to declare, this thing is over before you begin the fight. And then you walk out the fight. Why? Why? Because you've already got a revelation from heaven, not from man, not from people, but from heaven and the word of God, that before you stepped in the ring, victory is yours. I'm telling you, we can cry about what's going on in the world or we can look at it as an opportunity. And for many, they think it's shaking their faith. And I'm telling you, it's not shaking their faith. The reality is they didn't have faith. They only had fluff. Because your faith won't be shaken. Fear cries. Faith commands. Oh, my face's been shaking. No. See, you have just been anesthetized. You have been, you've allowed things to kind of dull you emotionally, mentally, spiritually, whatever. And you thought you were in faith because you emotionally were on a good place because you had figured out how to allow certain people around you to keep you propped up. But when those people were gone, they couldn't prop you up anymore. It couldn't prop you up. And if you're propped up, you're not standing. You're just propped up. And they move the chair of your job or remove the chair of someone encouraged or remove the chair, and you begin to say, oh God, why me? God's saying, it looks bad, but I'm telling you, shake off the dust, rise to your feet. Isaiah 60, arise, shine, for your light has come. Stand your ground and say, I'm not going to be who I used to be. I will not be held up by that which can be taken away. God. I will not be held up by that which can be removed by the whims of people who like me or hate me. But you stand your ground on the word, and after the storm is gone, people look around and they come out and they say, wait a minute, you're still standing. Of course, because you have followed what you've heard from the word of God. You have obeyed the word of God, and you are standing on the rock of God's truth. Fear hides in the tent. Faith says there's a cause. Fear cries.
faith commands. Yes. Yes. Who for the joy, shout joy. Yes. Come on, somebody, shout joy. And if you don't have this yet, that's okay. We're all growing through this process. And this might be a new idea. And I pray, Ephesians 1, that the eyes of that God would give you the anointing of wisdom and revelation, that the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened so that you may see the hope, the hope, the hope of his calling. What is the hope? The revelation of your destination before you get there, so that you can be confident and have peace on the inside that before you start, it's already done. Yes. Say, it is finished. Yes. That doesn't mean you won't have problems to deal with, giants to kill, but on the journey, you already know that you know that you know you've received from heaven a breakthrough revelation, that you have crossed over, that you know that you know you have received it, and then you will have it. Mark 11, 24. Yeah. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross? Let's go back to our puzzle again. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace and believe that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace. And peace. And peace. Here's the power of peace. And this is another way for you to know that you have stepped into a different realm. This is not, hear me, this is not mind over matter. This is not mentally convincing yourself. This is real. And it doesn't make sense to the natural mind. 1 Corinthians 2 tells us why. Because the carnal man cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. But what if you turn the TV off and say, I'm going to get into the Word. If they're going to try to keep me in my house, when I come out of this house, come on, somebody, I hear that my spirit, when I come out of this house, I might not have talked or see people at work. I might not see people from my family. I might not see my neighbors in a while because they're all in the house. But when I come out of the house, come on, somebody, say, when I come out. Say, when I come out. Oh, my God, I hear a word, a message for next Sunday. When I come out, I'm going to be different. Hallelujah. Jesus went into the tomb and he was wrapped up with towels and clothes by man, and he was dealing with the scars of man. But when he came out, he wasn't the, oh my Jesus, he wasn't the same. He wasn't the same as what they saw him. They could not recognize him unless he revealed himself to them. Why? Because when he came out, he didn't come out the way he went in. He said, when I come out, shout, when I come out, when I come out of this house, I'm not going to be the same person. My boss is not going to recognize me. My friends won't recognize me. My family's not going to recognize me. Hallelujah! You can't keep a good person down. What the enemy meant for evil, you're flipping it on. I'm going to turn it for good. You're coming out stronger. Ooh, my God, this stuff works. I don't want you to know that it works because I told you to work. It works. I want you to test and see and know, taste and see and know that God is good. I want you, Malachi 3, to put God to the test. I want you to say, I'm going to figure this thing out myself. I'm the laboratory in my own home. I'm going to test this thing out. All right, God, I'm going to see if this is true. And you begin to dig into the Word and spend time in prayer and focus on Him and watch what happens as we moved in the last verse. Philippians 4, 6. Are you having fun today? I'm having a good time. Hallelujah. Woo! Say, I'm having a good time. In the name of Jesus, I speak the anointing of an army. Hallelujah. I speak the anointing of an army in the name of Jesus. I call you the army of God. You are not victimized. You are not weak. You are not second best. You are the army of God. And I speak there's anointing coming up, resting upon your shoulders. There's an army. That anointing that's resting on you today is going to open up doors of responsibility and opportunity that in the past you thought were impossible. But I speak to you today, say, the Spirit of God, there are opportunities created from heaven for you. Step up into them, rise up into them, and you will see that your life will be brighter and better than it's ever thought possible, because the world sees darkness, but through you I will bring light, say the Spirit of God. Hallelujah! Oh my God. Hallelujah! Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Say, I'm going up. I'm moving forward.
Where do I get that? Proverbs 4, the path of the righteous shines brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter. Do you receive that today? In closing verse, peace. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. God not only wants you to have joy because joy gives you that ability to see the revelation of the hope so you know that in the opposition that you can endure because there's a better place. Paul says, forgetting those things which are behind and press toward the mark of the high prize. Press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling. High calling. High calling. Ephesians 1 calls it the hope of your calling. It's a high calling. It's higher than what you would do for yourself, even in your best imagination. Because the Bible tells me that eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has entered the heart of man the things that God has already prepared for those who love them. But he reveals them by his Spirit. Stand tall. Straighten your spine. Lift up your chin. Put a smile on your face. Your value, your identity is not based on your past mistakes or problems or issues. You are stepping into a new realm. A life that only God can get credit for in the name of Jesus. Still trying to get to this piece. Here we go. Peace. Philippians 4, 6. Amplified translation says, do not be anxious or worried about anything, but in everything, every circumstance and situation. I love this. Everything. Every circumstance, every situation. Don't be anxious. Don't be nervous. Don't panic. Oh, God, I don't know what you're going to do. I know you don't, but don't be anxious. What am I supposed to do? It doesn't say just ignore it, deny it. It says deal with it. Your kid goes outside and plays in the dirt and comes in dirty. You're like, oh, you smell and you're dirty. What do you do with it? You don't deny it. You deal with it. You say, get in the tub, get in the shower, whatever it might be. Get that stuff washed off. Jesus told the disciples, now you are clean by the washing of the water of the word. I start to feel anxious. I start to feel fear. Hey, we've all been through battles of life. Some are bigger than others, but whatever battle you fought, it's always the biggest. Have you ever noticed that? Because when you're in it, it's a whole different ballgame. But I'm telling you, the word still works. Don't just deny it. Deal with it. Do not be anxious or worried about anything, but in everything, with every circumstance and every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, continue to make your specific requests known to God. Notice this. And the peace of God. I just don't know if God's heard me. Well, then you don't have confidence. But when you understand the covenant, the Bible says that then you have confidence that the prayers you've answered, he's already heard it. Why? There's confidence. And the peace of God. Notice the Amplified translation, verse 7. And the peace of God. That peace. Say that peace. Come on, I'm going to work you, and we're going to end on a high. Say that peace. You thought it's been so long, you got to rest. No, you can't rest anymore. That peace. Shout that peace. Shout that peace. Come on, shout that peace. Just act like it's a piece of pie, and you're going through the line. You're saying, I don't want that peace. I want that peace. Right? Have you ever noticed if you ever go through there, they try to hand you the small, the insignificant, the one that they're trying to get rid of. I want the one you just brought out. That's bigger, that's fresh. Come on, some of you have done that. You know what I'm talking about. I say, no, I don't want that peace. I want that peace. Some of you have been accepting whatever peace been given to you. No, no, no. You have a choice. You don't have to take what they hand you. You can say, no, thank you. I don't want that peace. I want this peace. Because that peace that you're trying to give me is not what God has for me. God has something better for me than that. Don't give me your scraps. Don't give me your leftovers. Don't give me what you don't want. I want what God has for me. Oh, my God. Say that peace. Come on, shout that peace. Now you got a mental picture. You're working with me. That peace which reassures the heart. Are we going to make it? Well, I'm going to check my peace because it's reassuring my heart. I'm on the right path. That peace, shout that peace. Notice, which transcends your understanding, which means you can't understand it. Why would you not be able to understand it unless you have peace in the midst of a storm? That's when peace doesn't make sense. your emotions, the hairs on your arm are kind of going crazy. The goosebumps are going crazy. Your heart's beating. But on the inside of the spirit, the real you, you have a sense of peace and say, I know my mind is trying to go different places, but in my spirit. That peace which reassures your heart. That peace which transcends all understanding. That peace, shout that peace. Come on, shout that peace. Notice that peace which stands guard over your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus. Notice it is yours. How long do you need to pray? How long do you need to spend in the Word until you come to the place after you've prayed that with thanksgiving you walk into the process and you begin to experience that peace? Not the world's peace. Heaven's peace, heaven's rest, heaven's confidence. And all of a sudden on the inside, you're like, wait a minute, this works. Wait a minute, this is real. Wait a minute, I can sense God's presence in the room that I'm at. I'm not even in church. I can feel that I have peace. Shout that peace. Woo, let's put all the pieces back together. Let me read it one more time. Romans 15, 13. Now the God of hope. If he's the God of hope and you're his child, that means you're a child of hope. The God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope through the power, not of man, but by the through the power of the Holy Ghost. And everyone shouted, amen. With every head and every eye closed, every head bowed and every eye closed. Let me speak to those who are watching here. I want you to know that if you're living today and there's no peace in your life, it's because you need Jesus in your life. Maybe there's stuff in your life and you've done church, you've done religion, but I'm telling you, the rules of man to get you to get to God won't work. We are not into religion. We are into a real relationship with Jesus Christ because he is real. And because he's real, you can experience him. And because you can experience him, you can receive him. And because you can receive him, you can know without a question, shadow, or doubt. You can know the way you understand, the way you process, the way you experience that Jesus Christ is real. Listen, maybe you just happen to turn on the stream and you're watching right now and you're like, you feel anger or hatred. I'm telling you, those are demons that's trying to keep you out of God's best. You deserve better than to be tormented. You deserve more than struggle. Why don't you let God's peace come into your life today? Because he still loves you. If he didn't love you, he wouldn't have created this moment right now, even virtually, where you can hear this message. And on the inside of something screaming, no, I'm telling you, that's a demon trying to keep you out. But that demon has no power in the name of Jesus. Your simple prayer can change the whole ballgame. If you're like, wait a minute, enough's enough. I don't want to keep living the way I'm living. Maybe you're dealing with hate. Maybe you're dealing with offense. Maybe you're dealing with fear. Maybe you're dealing with racism. Maybe you're dealing with just stress. And you're like, I just, enough's enough. Why don't you turn to Jesus? Why don't you turn to Jesus? Pray this prayer with me. Say, Heavenly Father, I repent of all my sins. I turn to you today. I believe in my heart and I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he came to this earth in the flesh, died on the cross for my sins, was buried for me, and on the third day rose again for me. Because I believe that, I ask you, Jesus, to come into my heart. Wash me in your blood. Forgive me. Cleanse me. Give me a fresh start. Say, Jesus, I don't want a religion. I want a real relationship with you. So I ask you right now for you to make yourself real to me today in a way that I know for myself that you're real and you're my Lord and Savior. I receive you today. I receive salvation today. I receive forgiveness today. I receive you as my Lord and Savior. Thank you for saving me. I am saved. Amen.
God bless you. Let me just encourage you that if you prayed that prayer, let us know. You can call us. You can email us. You can do any of the messages, instant message us, or put it on the timeline. Whatever you, is available to you, whatever works with you, we're here for you. We love you. We call you blessed in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you for joining us. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Before we dismiss, I want you to know we will have prayer partners down at the front, but I want to end with a blessing. Can I speak a blessing over your life? I said, can I speak a blessing? Numbers chapter 6, verse 24. If you raise your hands, if you believe it, as I speak the word of God over your life, God told Aaron or Moses, have Aaron the prophets speak a blessing and I will do it. And here's what he asked them to say. It comes out of Numbers chapter 6. May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you his favor and give you his peace. In Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. We love you. Have a great day. See you next time.